You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
We heard on a podcast, the Pivot podcast from Derrick Henry, that when the free agency market began and the Titans let him go and picked up the Cowboys cornerback, that we talked about it a lot, that Derrick Henry seemed like a guy that could do some things that the Cowboys needed, especially those third and shorts and things that really applied. And, well, this is Derrick Henry on the Pivot. What we thought went on didn't.
No, they ain't holler at me at all.
Really?
Bro, that was
the rumor.
It would have been crazy. I mean, I thought, you know, it would have been some type of reach out, some type of, you feel me, talks of whatever, but they never reached out. You know what I'm saying? I don't really know. I don't know too much about the organization. You know, all I know is what I hear. And just talking to my agent, they weren't really interested, which, you know, I was just like, it is what it is. Mm-hmm. Like I said earlier, I'm going to be where I'm meant to be, and I feel like Baltimore was the perfect spot for me, so.
I kind of felt like Dallas was perpetrating some of those rumors.
Why? How would they stand to benefit from perpetrating the rumors if they weren't going to sign him?
That's the $10,000 question, right? Why? But I did feel like that there was actually some conversation behind the scenes that was going. And not that Derrick Henry's the guy that I wanted, but he's certainly of higher value to me, at least where we're sitting looking at Zeke or other things. It's just, as you've been up to say more than once, it is this ongoing just inactivity. It's not asleep at the wheel. It's just inactivity. They're not doing something because they don't know what they're doing. They're just not doing anything because that's the plan.
I also, I'm not willing to go as far as saying it's the plan. I don't think they have a plan. I don't think, because to say that this would be the plan would imply that there was a level of calculation of premeditation, you know what I mean, of saying we're gonna do this, we're gonna whatever, we're gonna hold tight. I don't think it was that at all. I think that they just wake up every day and kind of drift in the sun, you know what I mean? Today I think I'll sign Eric Kendricks. Oh, the Niners did? Let's wait, you know, maybe he'll change his mind. Oh, hey, that worked out really well, awesome. Maybe Derrick Henry will change his mind, maybe he'll call us, you know. It's a complete and total apathy. Because they don't need it. Again, Jerry Jones is listed, however you want to qualify this with the filters for sports people or not, is one of the wealthiest people in the world. He's 137th in the world in net worth. You think he is really concerned with whether or not he's going to pay Derrick Henry to play running back for his team? No, of course he's not, because he doesn't need to be.
But as you just defined, he is that rich because of the way he's managed his football team, not from other things, although other things have played a huge role when you really look at where the money's coming from. But he has managed this into a formidable organization by winning. I mean, it's not like they've never had a plan. So now...
I don't think that they have a plan. I think that Will McClay has his own plan. I think Mike McCarthy has his own plan. I think, you know, non-Joneses have their own plan, but I think the Joneses then say, well, what's the plan? I don't like this. Let's do this instead. You know, we're the boss. We signed the checks. Let's, you know, we feel like, let's draft Sam Williams in the second round. Let's trade Amari. You know what I mean? Tyron Go wants to go to the Jets. Fine. Let him go to Woody Johnson. He doesn't rank as high as us on this list. He's a loser. You know what I mean? I don't think that they have any kind of cognitive thought in one direction. You know, every other team, you can point everything they're doing towards a plan. Now, most of those plans will fail. But at the very least, they have a plan. They have a method of attack. They have a method of operation. The Cowboys don't have that at all. We can't determine whether or not, and I'm not saying this because we're not in the building, but there's no discernible proof that they are all in or they are tanking or they all are doing this, that, or whatever. They're just existing. They're floating in the universe right now. That's all they're doing.
Okay, your definition of what is all in and mine might not be the same thing.
Well, there might be all in on the draft. As I look, on Blogging the Boys and a variety of other sources. Obviously, the Cowboys are going to have to look at running back at some point in the draft. Brooks out of Texas looks like a very likely candidate, although dealing with an ACL. If they were to draft a running back, where is the most appropriate place to do it? It can't be first round. Feels like we got bigger holes than that. We know what they've done in the second round. Where do you expect them to go? And it's, you know, is Texas fan right and maybe hoping that he ends up a Cowboy?
They love to do this. They love to get their first round type guy in the second round. And we, well, Rob, you know, the way we look at it, we actually got two first round picks because Brooks, I can hear Steven. Steven will say, you know, Brooks, he's a great back. I mean, he's, you know, three down guy. You give him the ball, I mean, he could really make it happen. And we feel, you know, he would have gone in the first round if not for the injury. And you know, my nephew, he plays there. Do you remember, Rob, that last year they literally called, you know, your grandson Anderson, Charlotte's son, and asked him about DeMarvion Overshun, which I think is cool and fine. I mean, I don't have an issue given that they share a locker room, but can you not see them just saying, oh, this guy would have been really good. We'll take him here now. It's a bargain. You know, oh, you're going to sell us the display? That's why the price is knocked down? Just because it's been out here? That's fine. I don't care. Yeah, knock the price off. I'll take it home right now. I don't even need the box.
Okay, so you be Will McClay. Let's make the draft. First round. You don't have to tell me the player, but the position. Your first round, given where the Cowboys are, we expect zero movement. Let's just pretend that Zeke has been signed. That we expect that Zeke will be with the Cowboys. That in mind, give me your first three draft picks by position.
Offensive line, and I'll keep it that vague because it could be guard, tackle, or center at this point. Linebacker, defensive tackle.
So running back, not even on those top three.
I'm not of the mindset that you have to take a running back early on. It's a need, but, I mean, if you're not going to address the offensive line, spending a premium resource on it isn't going to help. It's just Saquon in a lesser kind of way.
Now, I saw something that I just kind of joked with you. You know, we saw what Xavier Henry did in the combine. And, you know, Xavier Jerry loves a headline. Oh, Worthy, I'm sorry. He did in the combine. We know Jerry loves a headline and loves a guy who looks different and fast. What if the Cowboys went nuts and did something like draft a wide receiver one? Is that something you see that wouldn't be just a terminable offense? Or is that something that if they went and got somebody, would you be, I don't know, mad would not be the term I'm looking for because I don't mind if they're swinging for the fences. What would happen if, say, they jumped out and did go get a wide receiver? In the first round, would that throw everything that you just talked about out the window because making things even worse? Or would you be happy that maybe if a guy fell, they might pull a CeeDee Lamb and grab something that might not have been their first need?
I don't have a problem with that if you have prepared yourself accordingly. You brought up CeeDee Lamb. You know, it didn't work out for them in 2020, but they were fairly active in a moderate sense in free agency that year. They signed Gerald McCoy. They signed Don Terry Poe. They signed Ha-Ha Clinton Dix. They took care of these needs that they had on paper, right? Like they filled holes. They raised and elevated the floors for those areas. The, you know, situation that they went into in 2020 was, you know, one where they really needed a pass rusher to a legitimate degree, but, you know, were in a spot where they could pivot if they had to. And so the name they were connected to that entire pre-draft process was Kalavon Chase on the pass rusher out of LSU who went to the Jaguars. Mm-hmm. But CeeDee Lamb fell. And because he fell so far, the value was just so overwhelming to them that they said, well, this is a need of ours. It's not need number one, but we've taken care of all of our other needs to some degree so we can kind of survive in the name of achieving the most value that the board has presented us with in this particular spot. They don't have that luxury this particular year. Yeah, I've brought up 2022 several times because 2 years ago, the Cowboys traded Amari Cooper, they cut Lyle Collins, and they saw Randy Gregory walk in free agency to the Broncos right through all that mess. So Do you think it's just a coincidence that their first three picks that year were offensive line to replace Lyle Collins, pass rusher to replace Randy Gregory, and wide receiver to replace Amari Cooper? No. They will feed us the same hogwash that they're drafting the best player available, but they're not. They have these glaring sirens surrounding them, DEFCON 1 level needs that they have created by their own stagnance in free agency to the point that we've been discussing this entire time. So they don't have the benefit. They don't have the luxury or the flexibility to say, CeeDee Lamb fell to us, or whoever. I would offer that name this year might be Byron Murphy, the defensive tackle out of Texas. He's awesome. He's amazing. And he might fall. There is a world, I mean, where anybody falls, to be clear, but where that could conceivably happen. And that would be a great pick, and it would be a little bit of a violation or a kind of a throwing the sunk cost fallacy to the wind because you took Mozzie Smith in the first round last year. So, great. I would love to see that in a certain world, but you can't do that when you don't have a starting left guard or left tackle, when you don't have a starting center of superior quality, when you don't have linebacker depth. You have left yourself pigeonholed in all of these areas to where you have to spend those resources there, and you're going to have to reach on other positions to fill them, and you're going to have to pass up the great value that presents itself, like Byron Murphy or whoever your CeeDee Lamb is.
Knowing that, can you see them trading down, getting out of the first round?
You kind of have to trade down. I mean, they don't have a fourth-round pick, as we've discussed a lot. And they need as many premium top 100 picks as they can obtain. Field Yates, who's great, obviously, released his second mock draft this morning. And he had Dallas trading down to 31 with the San Francisco 49ers. That's exactly what they did 11 years ago. They traded down to that spot specifically with the Niners specifically. And they took Travis Frederick. And they picked up an extra third-round pick. And they turned that third round. I think that was the third round pick they used on Terrence Williams, if I recall correctly, or J.J. Wilcox. But either way, those were both serviceable players for them. And they obviously landed, you know, a starter, an amazing starter in Travis Frederick at the same time, and picked up that extra pick that they were able to turn into a serviceable player. You kind of have to do that. But that is such an out-of-control thing, out-of-your-control thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can say the general price for trading down from 24 to 30 or 31 or whatever is about a third-round pick, but that's contingent upon the board falling away that another team likes and that, you know, the player they want is there and doesn't get taken or whatever, and that somebody in front of you doesn't trade down, doesn't beat you to that specific offer. You're just counting on all of these things that are out of your control, and that's such a reckless way to do this.
Looking at the way the draft is going to shake out, and, you know, you got different mocks from different folks, but it does look like as you get down to the end of the first round where the Cowboys are at 19, right in there, seems to be where all the offensive linemen are landing. Like when the first one's off the board, there'll be one or two, that alt kid. There's one or two in the top 10, but it looks like those that are look like NFL starters, if not immediately in the next couple of years, are landing right about 15 to 25. Is that it appears that they're going to be in an area to get the guy that they really could use. Would you bypass that for just more?
My favorite or my preferred result right now is a trade down that leads to them landing Jackson Powers Johnson, the center guard, you know, whatever you want to call him, out of Oregon. Mm-hmm. That's the best spot. He's the best center in the draft. And to your point, it's very possible that if they don't move, that when they're on the clock at 24, that four, five, maybe even six tackles have gone. And to be clear, this even the seventh tackle in this class, whoever it ultimately winds up being by way of the order they go, the seventh tackle in this class is very, very, very good. This is a really deep tackle class, but I would much rather walk away with the best center in the class and really fully take care of a problem than reach for the sake of reaching on a tackle and get the seventh dude in the class when so many are going before you. And you just have to kind of accept that. That's the price of being good, but not the good you ultimately want to be.
Is he good enough to overdraft?
Jackson Powers Johnson?
I mean, is he good enough if they sit where they're sitting, they can't trade out of it. Nobody's going to take them going down. They're afraid if they – and the only ones that will, you're going too far down. Is he worth drafting five, six, seven, eight slots higher than he probably would have gone just because he's exactly what the Cowboys need at the exact right time?
I think he lands in the middle of the Venn diagram, and that's ultimately what matters.
It's a nightmare.
Well, but more often than not, you know, there are 32 picks in the first round, but more often than not, on average, there are not 32 consensus first-round grades. You generally have 20 to 22, maybe 25 in a deep year, first-round grade. So you're generally taking, by definition, somebody who is a reach in the latter parts of the first round where the Cowboys currently sit. And so, you know, that's, you just kind of have to live with that, right? Like, you can't trade down and say, like, well, we don't want to take you at 24. We'd rather take you at 36. You know, that's where we have you ranked on our big board. So we'll trade down and hope that you're there, because people are reaching. People are taking what they need. They're not taking chances. They want to make sure they get their guy. So he you know, kind of falls in the middle of the Venn diagram in that he fits a position of need. He's a talented player. He's worthy of a first-round pick, and he can be a five-year starter for you at the very least if you don't sign him to an extension.
But when you say worthy of a first-round pick, is he worthy of the Cowboys spot, or is he worthy of the 32nd spot? You know, I always have a problem and when I look at the draft board, knowing exactly this is the player, if he judged, you know, behind the scenes, and he is everything I think he is, that fits perfectly with this team, even though he's probably not worth the pick that they have. And if they took him, they're going to be dismantled for, you know, wasting value on a guy that probably isn't as valuable as the pick, but is perfectly valuable to them.
It's all pointless anyway. Everything sucks.
It's all pointless.
Support for this show comes from Pendo. Pendo improves the apps your customers and employees rely on. Whether you're building applications for customers or managing applications for employees, Pendo can help deliver better experiences for your users so they can get more value from your software. Pendo also provides AI-powered product analytics that fuel in-app guides to deliver personalized guidance to customers directly inside your app. Visit pendo.io/podcast to learn more about how your team can use Pendo to start building better digital experiences. There, you can also check out Pendo's lineup of free certification courses, 12 hours of in-depth training for your product management teams on topics from AI to product analytics to product-led growth. That's pendo.io/podcast to learn more. Pendo.
From data privacy to the future of TV, retail media, and beyond, the world of digital marketing is constantly in flux. So how can you keep up? Well, The Current Report is there for you. Each week, marketing leaders on the cutting edge give you the latest insight. So if it's creating a buzz, they'll be talking about it. Subscribe to The Current Report wherever you get your podcasts.